analyst Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, where Angel and I take time. We answer questions that are sent in by you during the week, and there are a lot of questions. We've got a great variety today, so we're going to try to get as many of them answered as we can. So, Angel, let's just jump in.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
The first one is on marriage. So, Joe, my husband is having an emotional affair, and he thinks it's okay and refuses to stop. He says he loves me, but he also feels love for the other woman. I'm lost and don't know what to do. Do you have any advice?
Yeah, it's a sin what he's doing. Job, we always go back to Job. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look on a woman to lust after. But Jesus said, it's not what you did physically. If you did it in your heart, if you did it in your mind, it's still a sin.
Yeah.
So what he's doing is still sin. And men, we've all males have done this, explain it away. Well, I didn't really do it. Yeah, you did. I didn't really do it. Yes, you did. You did it in your heart. Jesus said throughout the New Testament, if you did it in your mind, you did it. If you stole that in your mind, you stole it. If you killed somebody in your mind, I want them dead. You did it. You're going to have to pay for it. You got to control your thought life. It's real biblical for the Christian that reads their Bible. They're recording angels in heaven. They're recording every idle deed and every idle thought. So when you get to heaven, you get an account of everything you ever thought. People think, God doesn't know what I'm thinking. Yes, he does. And an angel's writing it down. That's why God said to live successful on this planet. Control your thought life. Think on these things, whatever is lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy. And so you can't make an excuse out of it. You got to learn. That's where you win the battle, is in your mind. It is a battle between the two sides of your head. It's like here, battle for the mind. Somebody wrote two great books, two great people, the great ministers, well-known, both wrote books, the same title, The Battle for the Mind. That's where it starts. So you got to control it there first. So yeah, it's an affair. He's having with his mind.
So what do you suggest that she do?
Somebody needs to tell him the truth. He's not going to get it on his own because he's blinded right now. So either she's going to have to tell him or get some scriptures, find you two or three scriptures. The Bible says the mouth, two or three witnesses. So maybe feel comfortable with your pastor, or maybe you got a good best friend that's a Christian. Get together and find two or three real good scriptures. Look, guys, what you do in your mind, you'll have to give an account for.
Well, and the other problem with that is if his attention is on another woman,
yep,
and he's justifying that,
yep,
then
the physical part of that's going to be right on his heels.
Well, no, yes, I agreed. But I would also say that he's not treating you right.
Nope.
And it's making you feel insecure. It's making you feel inadequate.
It's going to cost him eventually. That sin's got death attached to it. Eventually, it's going to cost him money-wise, honor-wise. It cost him his life. It's a sin.
But you can't fix him.
No.
You can work on you, though.
Yeah.
And that's what I would do because, you don't have to take on that, you're not fulfilling some of my needs, or you're not doing this, or you're not doing that. Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
No, that's about as deep as you can get right there.
And I
don't try to justify, but you're not alone.
No.
You're not the only person on this planet dealing with that, unfortunately. So,
unfortunately, I've been through a very similar situation, and it does. It messes with your self-esteem.
Yep.
It messes with your heart, makes you insecure, you're trusting. It opens
up. Am I not good enough?
Yeah. Just opens a can of worms to so many things that I tell you, I would deal with this as quickly as possible. If he won't go on your own.
Yeah.
And, get some help.
Well, and hopefully you got a good pastor, good minister, good Christian friend. What you need first of all is peace of mind.
Yeah.
This isn't you. This is him. Now we all have sin in our life, but this isn't you. This situation, this is him.
Right.
And he's trying to justify it. And that is going to get him eventually.
Yeah. And that's what the church is for, though, to
yes.
support us in times like this. So
not
that's,
judges, support
yeah.
us.
So, and it is, unfortunately, rampantly common. So, I would definitely reach out
yep.
and get some help. Joe, this next question says, we have two teenage sons that seem to always have angry outbursts. What can I do to help control this?
Well, we're the ones that have to control it. It's not external, it's internal. It's an internal problem. That's eventually people become adults have to go see psychiatrists and counselors because they don't know why they're mad. And someone has to get to the depths of it. Well, God will get you to the depths of it, you know, yourself. Like,
well, you know, when we were growing up, nobody cared if you had emotions.
Yeah, there was nobody talking about that.
And then we've taken a pendulum swing to the other side, and we've told a whole generation of people that your emotions really matter. But, and they do, but they can't become prominent. They can't guide you. They're just an after effect of something that you're feeling as a result.
As a parent, it is not anywhere on my job list that I'm to make you happy. That is not my job. That's your job. I'm not to make you happy. I'm not the happy guru. I'm not Bozo the clown. I'm not the class. No, you make yourself happy, because if you can't do it, you will never, ever be happy. You'll have a bad marriage. You'll have a bad boss. You'll have a bad career. You'll have a bad life, because it's always somebody else's fault. Their fault. And we deal with this all the time. Somebody else's fault. No, it's my fault. Starts with me.
When my kids were little, they had a little bit of a sharing problem. And I remember one time my daughter was really bad at it, and she wouldn't let my son play with this toy. And I said, okay, we're not going to have this in my home. We're going to have a home full of peace. So here's what's going to happen. The next time that I see you not sharing, you are going to lose that toy, and it's never coming back. I'm not playing that game where it's gone for an hour and then I give in. No, it is never coming back. And her eyes got big and she said, never. And I said, never. And we lost two toys forever that never came back. And we went and donated them. And
some child is very happy today.
Then whenever I'd say, wait, are you guys not sharing? She'd immediately hand it over. So there has to be consequences. If you want the behavior to stop, there has to be consequences. And I remember as I got older, I remember one time I said to my son, who is a musician and had several guitars, would you like to lose those guitars like you lost those toys when you were little? Try that one more time and see if it doesn't happen. And they knew I meant it because I kept my word when they were little. And it's not too late to do that now. No. You can say, I've put up with this long enough. I'm not going to have this in my home. We're going to have a house filled with peace. And the next time that you burst out at me like that, see that little phone that you like so good? How would you not like to have it?
It's Santa Claus going the wrong direction. Stuff's going up the chimney.
The problem is today we don't give consequences.
Oh, no. We want you to feel good, feel peaceful. That's not our job. My job is to make you feel peaceful. That's God's job, and he's already done it by sending his son. You just haven't learned how to receive it.
Yeah.
You're trying to get out of humans what only God can do for you.
And I remember one time when my son was in high school, he was never he didn't have angry outbursts or anything, but one time he smarted off at me. And I got real quiet and I looked at him and I said, my expectation is that you're going to speak to me with the same respectful tone that I speak to you. Mm. And he dropped his head and he said, yes, ma'am. And he never did it again. But he has to know at some point, I mean what I say. And if I say that toy's going, if I say that guitar is going,
yeah,
then it's going to go. And so you're just going to have to stick to the consequence that you decide. And that will make a difference.
It will.
I assure you.
It will.
You won't like it, but it'll make a difference. All right, Joe, is it selfish or okay to ask God to be successful in life? What does scripture say about a Christian being successful?
It says you're supposed to be successful. Supposed to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to will prosper. When you start quoting from Joshua 1:8 to just start ripping through the Bible, God wants it to be successful. People don't look at you and say that you're broke and half dead and got no clothes, you're in the street. Hey, didn't I tell you about Jesus? Because he's just taken my life to nothing and has humbled me and made me poor and sick and I'm half dead. Would you like to have the same God? I mean, that's just totally insane. God wanted a people. He took the children of Israel. He wanted to bless them. He wanted to give them houses they had never built, lands they never owned. I want to give you a land. I'm going to give you houses. I want the world to look at you and ask you about the hope that's in you. And you're going to say, it's not us. It's just God being good to us. And that was to be the testimony of all believers throughout all time. Hey, how come it's going so good for you? You're lucky. No, there's no such thing as luck. God's blessed me. I'm a blessed individual. If you're willing and obedient, eat the good of the land. So no, you're supposed to prosper. Now, it doesn't mean you're supposed to get filthy, stinking rich. I know the world's gone crazy on that. Well, it's all about wealth. No, it's about having all your needs met. And I tell people, the needs of my family are not the needs of your family. You probably need a whole lot more than I need. But I need every penny that I need to do what I'm doing. Take care of my kids, my grandkids, pay the bills, have a home, drive cars, put gasoline in, pay insurance. You know, don't turn the water off, turn the lights off. I need money to live on this planet. And God said he would supply all of my need. That's why 97% of all Americans have no budget. Get a budget. What do you need? Well, I need every dime on this piece of paper. Then you got something to pray over. Lord, I need every dime in this budget. This is what we need this year. So start off every year with, you know, how much you need this year? Well, it's going to go up about 4 or 5% based on cost of living. Figure that in. Then some surprises, add another 10% for something you didn't see coming. Transmission is going to fall out. Refrigerator to stop working. You have to buy something you weren't planning on. So I need money to live on this planet. So God, if he supplies all my needs, I need every penny of it. So I need to prosper.
And he wants you to have enough that you can bless others.
Oh, give to your children and your grandchildren. A good man leaves money behind to his children and his grandchildren. I mean, you know, if you pass away in this lifetime, they ought to be real happy at your funeral. Thank God grandpa's gone. Woo, that's for free.
Yeah.
We're not going to edit this out, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, all right. Joe, I'm having a hard time making lasting friends. It seems like I just don't click with anyone. It's hard to find people who want to invest in building friendships nowadays. What can I do?
Friends are expensive. The Bible says, greater love has no man than him that lays down his life for his friend. A friend is somebody who will die for you. If they won't die for you, if they won't give their life for you, they're not your friend. They're an acquaintance. So most people have no friends. Most humans on this planet have no friends. If you've got some, you may have one, two, maybe you might have three. I doubt it. That means you have three people who will die for you right now. They will jump in front of a car. They'll give their life for you. They'll give their kidneys, their livers, whatever it takes to keep you alive. They'll give their life for you. That's biblically a friend. So what you're talking about is not friends. You're talking about acquaintances. And, you know, acquaintances come and go. And so sometimes people are nice to you. Sometimes they're mean. And sometimes they like it. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they want to hang out. I don't want to hang out with you to go away. And so that's acquaintances. And that's like a river. It's flowing. It's like the waves of the sea. It moves. So don't let that upset you. But for friendship, the only way you can have a friend, the Bible says you have to be a friend to have one. So you got to have to sow it first. So you got to be friendly to everybody you meet. What are you going to do? I'm looking for a friend. I want to be friendly. You might be friendly back. You might not. That's not my responsibility. That's God's. My job is to be friendly to you. Somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go 2. They ask you for your shirt, give them your coat as well. Be friendly. Show yourself friendly, the Bible says. So if you start that process, you'll have some good friends. You will.
Well, I used to think I had a lot of friends, but my pool just got really small.
It's great to have, and Angel's just, she knows everybody. I don't know how many states you've been to. She knows everybody in every state, but she's a very friendly because she's a good listener. Friends listen. They don't talk all the time. They ask you about you. And we used to teach classes when I was a school administrator, how to have relationships. You have two ears and one mouth. Listen more than you talk. People don't care who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. They care about sharing where they've been, what they're going through, what they've done. Be a good listener. And that's through Proverbs, is just full of scriptures about, you know, the ear, the mouth, the tongue. Use your ears. Listen well. Respond by. Have empathy for people. Don't do all the talking. You do all the talking, nobody's going to be your friend. They might smile at your face, but they're going to think, thank God, Greyhound, they're gone. Woo, they about drained me. And so just show yourself friendly.
Yeah, listening is a huge thing, and most people don't know how to do that these days because – you know, everybody's stressed out today. Everybody's anxious and everybody's busy and everybody's running.
Nobody knows how to roll their cares over onto God. So we're loaded. I'm worried about this, worried about that, and got a new kind of flu and a new kind of disease, and the economy's rolling and rocking like a roller coaster. Oh, my Lord, what am I going to do? Well, the Bible says, roll all your cares over to God, for God cares for you. The Bible says he gives his beloved sweet sleep. You got to sleep good every night. Why? God's got you covered. Father, I just give you this night. I got so many angels around me. The Bible says you cannot count them. I don't have one angel. The Bible, they're innumerable. You cannot count the number of angels God's got assigned to me. So God's going to order my steps, direct my path. Was life going to go smooth? No, because there's a devil who hates everybody's guts. So there's tests and trials. They come to everybody. But learn how to roll that over onto God. Do what you can do. What you can't do, don't worry about it. That person doesn't like me. I don't care. I'm going to like them whether they like it or not. And, you know, I'm going to be nice to people. I'm going to work hard and pay my bills. Live life. Quit worrying about stuff. God's got you covered.
You know, when I first moved to Spokane, Washington, I was 19 years old, and I'd never hardly been out of the South. Woo. I think I'd been west to Nashville. That was about it. And so when I moved out there, I was scared. I was lonely. I'd left my family. I'd always lived around my family.
That's tough.
And my husband had a job in the youth group, and I had a job where I sat in an office by myself in the basement. And I'm a people person, so that was very hard for me. But I can remember one day crying and saying, God, I just would like a friend. Would you send me a friend? And that day, this has never happened to me before and has never happened to me since. Somebody knocked on my door and said, hi, I know you're new in town, and I, you know, seen you at church. And I was just wondering if you might like to have lunch sometime.
Oh. Or it's a God in heaven.
That girl and I are still friends. As a matter of fact, she was just here a couple of weeks ago. Yep. And
that's been years, decades.
Okay, yeah, don't say so long, but yes, it has. I mean, I was 19 then, and I'm broke now. But so, yeah, if you pray and ask God.
Yes.
He, like Joe says, he won't move until we ask.
God's not feeling sorry for me. He will only move. God's only moved by faith. And faith comes from the word of God. So find your two or three scriptures of God. You said it's good to have a friend. So I need to know how to be one. So help me be friendly to people. Listen more than I talk. And people want to be around you. It will change. I used to work with high school kids. Hey, I can make you the most popular kid in the school. I just told my six kids that I'll make you the most popular kid in the school. Quit doing all the talking. Do more listening. Ask how they're doing. Serve people. Help people. Carry their books down the hallway. Do something. Clean out your locker. But you show up early. Stay a little later. You know, be a blessing when you show up. People want to be around you. They will.
Yeah, that is true. Show yourself friendly and you'll have a friend.
Woo! Put that on the bumper sticker.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. We love our Mondays. We
great questions.
Keep sending the questions in. They're great.
Yeah, they are.
I'm some of these are.
They're great. We're just barely the tip of the iceberg. You cannot believe the stuff we're going to cover. So tune in next time, because we got some great stuff to cover. We really do.
And please share it with your friends. Like us on Facebook and Instagram and
all the new stuff.
Yeah.
YouTube.
I couldn't think of it. YouTube.
Yeah. I've gone from a 4-party line to we hit the internet. And now we're everywhere.
We love you guys. Thanks for your support.
Yes.
Thank you for your giving. We love you. And
God bless, guys.
Yes.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.